Initialization complete. System activation in 3.0.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
We open the entire thing up with Gamma Unchained by the Megas. Awesome, cool, not retro, I guess. It's stable. Staple stuff for Experience Points.
Staple, okay.
That is the show you're listening to. We drop nerd and geek knowledge all the time, specifically tonight, Wednesday 9 to 10, but previous Wednesdays from 9 to 10
as well.
We actually got part two of our Tomb Raider show. Happy birthday, Lara Croft. Happy birthday,
yeah,
Tomb Raider.
Doing? Please never release another album.
Everybody from Crystal Dynamics and Core Design and Eidos. 20 years ago, yesterday, actually, Tomb Raider was released. So October 25th.
So
we are there. We play music. We drop knowledge. We have all this stuff, and we put it online. Bear, what is the website?
The website is exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We also take a lot of that. We put it on social media. We're sorry in advance, but it's at exppoints.com/social. So you can go ahead and check out our social media landing page at exppoints.com/social. That's Facebook. That's Twitter. That's Google+. That's YouTube. We got Steam community. If you want to donate money to the show, Patreon and PayPal, thank you in advance. If you want to stream us via iTunes or Stitcher or just the radio show website, we are there. You can do it. I believe in you.
It's really all up to you.
Yeah, it's all up to you. We got the game servers. You can check out at exppoints.com/servers. Minecraft. I think we got some source stuff out
there. Yeah, we got the Minecraft one's up now.
We got the Minecraft one up. A lot of other stuff's up too. We're going to cut to a song, come back, and talk about what we did last week. This is Heads Up, Hearts Down by I Fight Dragons. I'm MG.
I'm Ed Bear.
You're listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. That was Heads Up, Hearts Down by I Fight Dragons, some of their original material. I don't think they're from their first album, maybe from their first album. I can't remember.
It's one of the older ones.
I want to say the girl was still in the band. Bill was certainly in the band at the time, but since then, Project Atma, and they named it Project Atma for the Kickstarter, and then they changed it to The Near Future. That's their latest album. I hope they're working on new stuff. I haven't checked Kickstarter lately, so if they're doing it via that, I didn't know about it. But I'm part of the Dragon Fighter Guild or whatever.
I
haven't heard that. But Bear, this is a segment of the show where we talk about what we did last week. What did you do last week? Tell us. We're waiting.
The miracle of things that I did last week.
What did you do?
The Mirage.
Yeah.
Mirage.
Like myriad.
Myriad. The myriad. Thank you. Ha ha. I'll get the words.
I know a few of the things you did with internet domains.
We'll get to that one. I'm still doing that.
All right.
Speaking of internet here is crap, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's not anything new to anyone. Things I did last week. I started playing Kingdom Hearts.
So I saw it on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter or on whatever.
On the socials of the medias
that you started playing Kingdom Hearts. Now, is this on the PlayStation 2 or is this on PlayStation 3?
This is on PlayStation 2. It's the original cut.
All right, good. So it's not...
I have to use a memory card.
It's not the international cut.
No.
Okay.
It's like the original just...
Okay. I have Remix 1.5. If you want to do it with PS3, if you have a PS3.
We actually do have a PS3, but I don't know. I'm like already into this. It's kind of like the original thing.
The controls are the same.
But I have to use a memory card.
It looks a little bit nicer.
See, that ruins it.
It scales up to, I think, it might be 1080p. Anyway, so you play Kingdom Hearts. What are you thinking so far? For those that don't know, Kingdom Hearts is Disney and Square Enix, Final Fantasy, all those characters kind of thrown together in a big, giant, cool universe. Anyway, what do you think?
All right, so...
Like one of my favorite games, actually.
Oh, okay. Series. Wow. Well, that's totally going to color my opinion now.
I know, right?
No, but like you said, it's from Disney, and I honestly I wasn't expecting what I got.
Yeah.
I loaded it up and the intro is so intense.
Yeah, because you got Utada Hikaru doing Simple and Clean and
I was not expecting like the intensity that you just get slammed with right off the bat.
Now I wish the entire game was that graphics style. Only because that's like a very Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy XIII.
You can tell Square Enix worked on it.
Right. It's Final Fantasy XIV, rather. Yeah. It's a very high-end graphics style. And then the rest of the game, again, at that era, the rest of the game is sort of a cutesy-wootsy, you know, whatever.
Right.
But
that felt more Final Fantasy. And then the character design later feels more Disney. You can see like the bigger feet and the hands. But no, so far, I haven't got that far into it. But it's, you know, it's really fun. I can tell Square Enix worked on it.
Yep.
And I feel there's a lot of quality, and I can't wait to get further into the story.
The nice thing is that Disney doesn't lease their IPs, it seems, very often.
Not often at all.
And they
like to just acquire other IPs.
Yes. And for this, they really went to the wall. I mean,
and it paid off, from my understanding.
Well, I mean, there's like eight games in the series, or maybe
there's
nine games.
There's two main ones that I found.
There's Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Yeah. 3 is on its way.
On its way.
We've seen some screenshots of that, and the art style is preserved, and it's just really, really nice. But then there's just all of these little side quest typey sort of games that I don't particularly like. But it's
like
out there.
I've played on the one on Android a little bit, which
like the cookie clicker version.
It's like you're on. It's like a hack and slash, really. Yeah, is what it is. So.
You see, I don't really care about games like that because I don't feel like they further the story. And if they do,
I'd
rather
what I'm
just
saying. Like I've played that before, but I don't feel like I've ever played
the Remix Collection's done this really cool thing where they will they'll show just the video snippets, like all the FMVs or whatever,
to get the story.
Yeah, they'll sort of go through the story points so you don't play the levels. And some people say, that's kind of crap. I don't like that. But the really cool thing is that at the end of the day, you know the story. You're invested. You caught up.
Right.
You know?
So there's that.
Yeah. So you've been playing Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I played a little Kingdom Hearts. Got back into Splatoon for the first time since they broke my heart.
I've been seeing some new footage from Splatoon, and I don't know if that's on current gen or if that's going to be on the Switch.
I believe that's going to be the Switch is what it's sounding like. I think that may have been why they cut off everything to do with Splatoon.
That seems
it's the most idiotic thing. I can spend the rest of the show complaining about the one part, like the major draw. It's like, let's just cut it out. Splatfest is what I'm referring to. Every 2 weeks they would have a contest and you join a team and fight.
A little bit of backstory. This past week they unveiled the NX, which is now called the Switch. It is a hybrid console, mobile and sort of at-home console that literally you have two sides of the remote that switch into the screen. You pull it up like a toaster. It like pops up like toast and it becomes a screen. So gone are the Wii U controls, the controllers where it, because that seems like what it should have been.
It feels like the Switch is a Wii U controller, and they just took the Wii U and shoved it into the controller.
Right. That's what I thought the Wii U was supposed to be. I didn't realize it was a console, and then there was a big, giant, TV controller.
That's just a controller.
Oh, cool. I could play some game while I'm on the toilet pooping. Maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I want to walk around with this thing. Oh, wait, no, it's heavy. I don't want to do it, and the battery life sucks. Well, the Switch is supposed to change all that.
And they are getting rid of the dual screen paradigm with the Switch.
Right,
so.
I feel like, you know what, Nintendo, because I don't want to spend too long in this segment, but Nintendo does a lot for pushing the market.
Nintendo tries things.
Here's some new,
which is what I like about
here's a
them.
New idea. Let's throw it out there. Oh, mini discs didn't really work. Sorry, GameCube, you're dead, you know?
Right.
But at least it tried it, you know?
Again, like I said, my biggest issue right now is how they kind of are like murdering their IP of Splatoon. I guess they hate money.
They won't get rid of Splatoon.
No,
it's first party.
In the footage they showed, it looks like everyone's thinking it's a new version for the NX.
Right.
Or the Switch now. So, and what this is mainly based off of, and it's funny if you don't know, because one of the characters was wearing pants.
Oh.
So obviously this is a whole new version of the game.
Oh, okay.
Boom.
All right,
pants.
Fine. When no
you
pants
wear,
are involved.
You can't buy pants in current gen. You can only get shorts.
Okay, all right.
Fun fact. Actually, I don't even think you can change those.
They're just static.
Always have them.
This is the model.
Yeah, I think.
Cool.
Lying, but,
yeah, it's interesting to see like the new releases or the new sort of reveals for consoles, because especially from a company that like doesn't understand how to market to North America
at all.
Sony's got like Sony North America, Nintendo like North America or whatever. Reggie's cool, but it's like he doesn't have control of how they're going to sell things. So they usually get this information, and it seems like they've made it. It almost seems like they're doing sort of what Sega did with the Dreamcast. Like they're making it for a different. Mm-hmm. they're making it for a different market, and it might sell because of all the first party IPs.
Right.
You know, like everyone loves Mario, and everyone loves now Sonic, and everyone loves, you know, Zelda and Star Fox, and all of these, you know, another hopefully Metroid Prime 4
was a good little
the what
the yeah
Morrowind
series, yeah.
They're coming out with that, really?
Skyrim was on it in the preview.
On the Switch?
On the Switch. The guy was playing
Skyrim.
That just
is sort of dumb. I mean,
why is it dumb?
So it's dumb because Skyrim, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, buy this console. Well, why do we want to buy this console with a game that it might be getting a remastered version, but it's a game that's been existing since 2007?
Yeah, but I'm not so excited about the game as the fact that that's a third-party developer.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough. I would hope that this system isn't such a departure from...
I mean, it would be nice if we seen Fallout 4. Be fair.
Well, but. but that, you know, at least it opens the floodgates sort
yeah,
of.
That,
it
that,
sorts
that,
of
that's
precedence.
My point. Is that good third party developer like was it id?
No, that's Bethesda.
Which does Fallout 4.
And we'll never see Doom on the Switch. I mean, I will buy a hat and eat it because you know.
I hope we see Doom.
And I'm talking about the new Doom, not the retro Doom. Oh. No, the interesting thing is like back in 1985, you know, Nintendo was really big into licensing, and they wanted to make sure they saved the video game market by adding licensing, which seems crazy, but at the time it kind of was. But it standardized the market, and then when we see now, well, a lot of developers won't build games for their consoles because it's hard to build games for those consoles, and it's a pain to go through licensing.
Right. And and the big kick right now is they're saying this one's going to be a much easier, much better platform to develop on.
Okay,
we'll see if they deliver.
We'll see if it's Jaguar or regular 64-bit based. You know, like the PlayStation 3.
It's NVIDIA Tegra based.
Okay, so that's fine. That's good. At least it's similar. Really, you know, because the PlayStation 3, people complained about it being difficult. The Xbox 360 was super easy, and now the PS4 and the Xbox One are all using the same similar types of processors, so cool. As long as we can get better, you know, development for the developers.
Let's see. And then the other major thing I did was I bought Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Box Set.
Oh, good. Is it the large format or the small?
It's the small.
Is it the color one?
No, it's the black.
It's the black and white. So as intended.
Yeah, as intended. Yeah. So, and that's actually, I went back and forth because I almost got the color, but then I read like so many people apparently have really strong feelings on it.
Yes. Yes,
so
they
like,
do.
You know, I'm going to go with the black and white because I feel like that is more true to that style of media.
Yep.
And I'm going to stick with it.
Because it's like American manga. It's
yeah, exactly.
That's really
well,
what
that's
it
exactly
is.
What it is. Like, it's in the same size book and everything.
Yep. Yep.
Well, Canadian manga, I guess.
Yeah. North American manga.
North American.
Yeah, non-Asian, non-Japanese.
But yeah, no, so I'm really enjoying it so far. I don't know, I kind of wish I wouldn't have ever seen the movie first, although it's an amazing movie.
Well, it's good that you've seen the movie. You know how it sort of ends, but you can compare the movie to the manga, or to the comic.
Like to done it in the opposite direction.
I did. That's how I did it.
You did
and
it
the
way.
Nice thing was, it was so great to see something so faithful to the source material.
Right.
That's really.
And I do like picking out, because that's the thing, you pick out the little differences in it. And it adds some finesse to the characters that you couldn't present in the film necessarily.
Yep. It's really, really good. All the little quips and changes and little, you know, all the little video game things, tropes that they put in there is really from the comic, which is really great.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really fun.
You had a productive week.
I did. Well done. So many
things. It's been a productive damn week for you.
Woo!
Awesome.
And that was between drinks.
I watched Walking Dead. Feelings. I'm not going to talk about it. I watched Walking Dead, but people had definitely big feelings about Walking Dead, the premiere. I finished up, I can't remember what I finished it up. Well, I watched Star Trek Beyond, which was good. I ended up playing more Tomb Raider in preparation for the show, which we're going to have to get around to doing the show in a minute. I played more Tomb Raider, played more of the DLC, for Tomb Raider, and I'm working on rebuilding my house a little bit more. Soon I will be doing live drinking games, streaming.
Yay.
I've got faster internet. Last Thursday I did get 100 meg internet installed. The internet it's at my door. The first thing I did was like run updates, get updates for the computers, you know, do all this stuff. So it's really, really good. I'm very happy.
Man, I cannot talk this evening. I apologize. That's the other thing I did. I forgot to mention that I bought several domains.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got really bored and they were 88 cents.
Yep.
So how could you not?
Yep. Domains are fun.
So, yeah, no, I'm trying to. I have Serafina.ninja. Yep. .ninja is an extension you can get, by the way. And I'm currently trying to figure out how to get my DNS to work up with my WordPress site, and I think I broke the entire internet.
Well, maybe a sysadmin can help you. Mm. We're going to cut to a song. Anyone. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Tomb Raider. SevCon by Big Giant Circles. Catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Van.
That was SevCon by Big Giant Circles. This is part two of our Happy Birthday Tomb Raider series
Laura
show.
Laura Crofty thing.
We learned Mac 96, Tomb Raider, October 25th, actually. October 25th, 1986. Original Tomb Raider came out for Sega Saturn, PS1. It's now out for Windows, DOS, Mac, the N-Gage, iOS,
oh, wow.
Android, all that stuff.
The N-Gage. I want one of those.
This
bad.
Was the first... in the first generation, or the
correct.
First series of Tomb Raiders, followed by Tomb Raider 2 in 97, Tomb Raider 3 in 98, Tomb Raider Last Revelation, or Tomb 4 in 99, Tomb Raider Chronicles in 2000, and Tomb Raider got a re-release for the Game Boy Color in 2000 as well. It also got Curse of the Sword and The Prophecy on Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advanced. All these are part of the first generation. And the first generation ends with Tomb Raider, The Angel of Darkness. That's the final, installment. It was released in 2003, of the first generation, rather.
Okay.
It was
and then the reboot happened.
Yeah, the reboot happened in 2015, or 2013, rather.
Yeah.
But we actually had a second generation that we're going to talk about after Angel of Darkness. So Angel of Darkness, sixth installment in the game series. It was released in 2003, and it followed the events of Chronicles, which, again, Chronicles was sort of a flashback series, series of flashbacks where we thought Lara Croft was dead per the ending of Last Revelation. It was developed by Core Design and IDOS, and originally it was out for Windows, PS2, and Mac. And it was the first PS2 Tomb Raider title, which is kind of neat.
Oh, fancy.
At least it would be kind of neat if it wasn't utter crap. There was so much negativity about it. From a plot point... From a plot point, we got called it some many days or weeks or however long after the events of...
Chronicles.
After Last Revelation, Werner von Croy is excavating the tomb that Lara Croft is trapped in, and she was dead. We assumed she was dead, and then, well, we found her. That was the ending of Revelations. Or that was the ending of Chronicles, but we found her. Sometime later, we don't know how long or whatever later, we find her. She is in, I think, Paris, and she is requested to come to the home of her mentor, Werner von Croy, the person that we locked in a tomb in Last Revelations, who we released, who became embodied with the set, and then eventually helped us get out, or presumably helped us get out. We go there, and we find him. He's murdered. And now we're framed for the crime. So there's this long string of events. I'm not even going into the story because, again, this is the last one of the first generation. We're not going to worry about the story in this one. This was plagued with so many bugs. There were glitches of all shapes and sizes. There were crazy things that happened with the voice changes, I think, again. The animation wasn't terrible. I don't remember it being bad.
Okay.
But there were a lot of changes in how everything worked from Chronicles and from Revelation, which it was the first major overhaul of the engine, which, good for you. You overhauled the engine a little bit. That was great.
It's always good to update the engine every now and then.
There's a benefit to using like a 5-year-old or 6-year-old engine. You know it. You know where its shortcomings are.
Intricacies of the engine.
Right. This one, not so much. It wasn't particularly good. So 2003, Angel of Darkness, not particularly a fun game for people. It was plagued in development hell for a while. Thankfully, later in 2006, we got Tomb Raider Legend. And this is sort of, this was the 10-year anniversary celebration of Tomb Raider at the time. And this is actually a pretty good one. If you wanted to come in before the reboot, if you wanted to come in and you wanted to play the original Tomb Raider games and you had Legend available, just start with Legend because it sort of revamps the whole thing. This actually saw the return of Toby Gard, who had left after Tomb Raider 1 because they wanted to sexualize the character.
Right.
This is a darker, more edgy, more like, oh, wow, you know, like people going to die type Tomb Raider, type Lara Croft. Really, really liked it. It actually had like a PSP version, which was kind of neat.
Says the PSP was God's gift to man.
But originally it was out for PlayStation 2, Windows, Xbox, Xbox 360. So I think it also had... It also had a GameCube version, I believe. I can't remember that. It was originally released. It wasn't originally released for it, but they did port it. And eventually to PlayStation 3, Game Boy Advance, PlayStation Portal, all that stuff.
Right. Groovy.
Effectively, this rebooted the story. I don't think it actually... I can't remember if it invalidated the previous games, but it certainly... It certainly clarified things. So, like, we knew that Lara Croft's father was an archaeologist. Right. What we didn't know much about was her mother. So this actually opens up with 9-year-old Lara Croft and her mother Amelia on a plane, and it crashes in the Himalayas in Nepal. And after a scene where we see Lara's mother get sort of pulled through, like, a portal with, a dyad in this temple or whatever, like, Lara Croft then immediately ages up, and we start – now she's trying to find her mom. And the entire story is about mother-daughter trying to find, you know, what happened to her and everything. And at the end, we're set up perfectly for the next game in the series, which is Tomb Raider Underworld. We meet some of Lara's old friends, old acquaintances, friends that are now enemies.
I don't know if I played any from this period of time. This was 06 to...
This was 2006, yeah. So this was the second generation. It came out...
There's been another reboot since then, right?
Yeah, that was the 2013 version.
2013, yeah.
And that's the one we really care about because that's the really, really, really nice one in the sort of current gen or modern gen. But we got to get through this before we get to that, right?
We got to go through this. Sorry if I'm not much help.
I'm sorry. This was a single player, really, really cool. The neat thing is that there were Yakuzas. We went all around. It was very King Arthurian base, so Sir Lancelot shield and Excalibur and really, really neat things. But it set us up perfectly for Tomb Raider Underworld, which at the very end we find out that Lara's mother isn't dead. She was pulled through a portal, and she's actually in Avalon, which is sort of like one of the resting places of, or it's the resting place of King Arthur, one of the final like heaven-like places, the ethereal plane.
Gotcha.
So then we sort of get to Tomb Raider Underworld, which is, again, a direct sequel to Tomb Raider Legend. Came out in 2008. We're seeing a little bit more time between these games now, because originally they were like, whoa, Tomb Raider's hot, cool, put one out in 96, put one out in 97, put one out in 90. So this
killed production quality.
Right, this killed production quality. The nice thing about Tomb Raider Underworld is we've got a grappling hook. We've got a lot of the really neat features that we later I couldn't remember that these were features in this version because I don't remember beating Underworld. I remember the end, you know, and I remember playing it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember beating it like explicitly vividly because I didn't particularly like Underworld.
I
played it late in the game. I think I was going through boot camp or something at the time, or I was out of boot camp and I was doing other stuff. Anyway, this came out for the Wii, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. I think it was the last one that was developed for PlayStation 2. We see Lara Croft Mansion's exploding. The Croft Manor explodes.
Bye-bye.
Croft Manor's always been a staple in the Tomb Raider series, so seeing this sort of big, giant, iconic sort of the home of the entire Croft thing.
Oh, yeah,
this big, giant mansion explodes. Yeah, it's a big deal. Then we rewind a little bit, and we find that a doppelganger, some evil Lara, super sexy evil, emo Lara, goes through, kills one of her friends, and then sets the manor to blow up. She runs in to save some people, get some stuff, whatever. She ends up searching for Avalon because she's trying to find her mom, and she finds that she has to find Thor's gauntlet. She has to collect, effectively, Mjolnir, Thor's gauntlets to hold Mjolnir, goes through this entire thing. I believe that we find out that Amanda Everett, this is from a previous game, we find that some people from the original game actually come back to this, which was really, really cool. And I missed a step. I feel it would
You're
be remiss.
Terrible.
I feel remiss if I didn't say this. There was an anniversary edition, right?
Yes.
I forgot about that because it slipped my mind. But in 2007, I was like, where'd that year go? I know in between 2006 and 2008, they made something. They actually released Tomb Raider Anniversary, PS2, PS3, Xbox 360 at the time, Wii, Windows, OS X, and PlayStation Portable in 2007. This was an up-to-date re-imaging of the original Tomb Raider 1. And it's so good. If you had to come in, you can go and play this. It doesn't invalidate, or Legend doesn't invalidate anything from it. Though it is a little, I think it's a little weird that you play Legend and then it ends and ready to go into Underworld, but then Underworld didn't happen for 2 years. So then the reboot, sort of reimagining of Tomb Raider 1 comes out all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. That's a little odd.
It's a little weird. Let's cut to a song. Let's come back and we're going to talk about the new, because the Tomb Raider Underworld was. Well, at the end of that one, I think we find her mom again. I'm trying to remember. I want to say we find her mom, and with Amanda, they escape, and they get back to the original temple that she saw her mom disappear into
through the portal.
So gotcha, it's like sort of like a sacrifice.
I'm kind of learning about this lore with all you.
Yeah, because you didn't play Tomb Raider. Yeah. That's fine. And it's a complicated series of lore.
I've determined you just like complicated things. Like you and
Metal
the
Gear Solid,
Solid
Tomb Raider. Yeah.
Okay. I like
Splatoon.
You know
what? Try to follow the Legend of Zelda timeline, right? 20th year anniversary, the book, the art book is crazy. We're going to cut to cartoons featuring MC Chris by Dr. Ocker. Come back, talk about the latest generation of Tomb Raider. Again,
let's do that.
Tomb Raider 20th anniversary. We're going to catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still experience points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You just heard cartoons featuring MC Chris by Dr. Awkward. We're going to keep going with our 20th year anniversary of Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Part 2. Part 2 dot dash, dash 2?
Dash 2?
2.5, 2.5. Okay, so in 2008, that was the final game in the third. I'm saying it's the final game. I think they actually maybe released... like a mobile game. Like they had Underworld and then they had Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, which was for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Windows. It wasn't really it was just sort of a game to put out. And that came out in 2010.
Okay.
So two years after Underworld. That was the end of the second generation of Tomb Raider, and we started the third. Now, in reality, just to say with the same generations, we did end up getting Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, which was very similar to the Guardians of Light. It was still in the second generation, so Lara Croft looks completely different now, but in that game, she looked like she used to. She looked at the green, blue shirt, the ponytail, the short shorts, the backpack, the whole thing, the dual guns. In 2013, we saw the ultimate reboot of Tomb Raider.
And that basically reset the canon, right?
That reset the canon completely. PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One. The big benefit there is PS4 and Xbox One, we got the latest gen. And then Windows, Mac OS X, and Linux. So 2013, we saw this new reboot, and it was awesome. Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix. So Crystal Dynamics created it, and it was published, I think, by Square Enix, which was really, really nice. I don't know that Toby Gard worked on this, which he was sort of the person that started it, which was kind of, you know, I would want him to keep working on it. But this is the new generation. So this is we see Lara at the start of her journey. We don't know anything about her past other than she comes from money, because you always got to have that.
And this is like the Tomb Raider.
This is Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider. Yeah. Just Tomb Raider, big bold.
This is where I picked back
big
up.
Bold letters. Tomb Raider. She's on this big expedition ship called the Endurance. When a big giant storm happens, the ship is torn in half and shipwrecked.
Island.
She jumps out and they get to this island searching for the lost kingdom of Yamatai. There, one of Himiko, which is actually her friend. I can't remember her friend's name, but one of her friends is a descendant of Himiko, She's a Japanese sort of goddess or queen that became this superpowered superhero, sort of had all these powers. They're looking for the lost kingdom of Yamatai, where Himiko's power is supposedly stored. And she's there sort of underneath the wing of one of her professors. So she's green. We see a Lara Croft who's never really done anything. She's just interested. She's got money to throw and fund this expedition.
Right. Yay, being rich.
And everyone sort of knows she's like a rich girl, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, she goes and she's shipwrecked on the island. And as soon as she gets shipwrecked, it's like they're attacked by cannibals or they're attacked by these crazy people. She gets knocked out. She wakes up and she's in bondage, like tied up in a cocoon of some sort. She ends up getting out of the cocoon, lands on a sharp piece of rebar. I'm not going to do a play-by-play, but she has to...
Put it this way, after the intro sequence in this game, I don't know how she was alive.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure a mortal body would have been done.
It's pretty crazy. At this point, we see that this game is way darker, way more serious, way turnt up. More turnt up than any of the other previous games.
211.
So much so that we have to scramble through and beat off a guy trying to, like, you know, chase us or whatever. We have to, like, kick him in the face and whatever, beat him off of us. And then due to that action by the player, the cave that we're in collapses, kills this guy. She's never killed someone before. She's covered in blood. She's just done. And it's 5 minutes into the game.
Yes, it's very intense.
We get back. We try to locate the other survivors, and we find that this island has been inhabited. This king, the Bermuda Triangle-like island. It has been inhabited by these crazy people. It looks like the Germans were here during World War II. They had set up sort of some base camps or whatever. And throughout the game, we find that there's sort of this straggler religious cult, you know, inhabitants, villagers or whatever on the island, that if they've come from technology and they live here because someone is keeping them here. We find that the legend of Himiko is not a lie. And your friend, again, can't remember her name, but
Your friend,
Sam, that's what it is, Sam.
Boom, got him.
Sam is actually the key to unlocking the power. It's just sort of like prophecy that she returns to the island. She is taken by the cult leader. There is this big giant ceremony where she effectively becomes Himiko, the goddess, and unleashes this crazy power. And Lara sort of has to go, after battling through hundreds of people, killing and slaughtering tons and tons of people, almost getting raped. You know, like
so many.
It's so brutal.
Yeah, like that's what I got about this game is the brutality, and you see what turns this rich little snob kid into like the complete
person
that she becomes.
We see her academic sort of not advisor, but her academic professor sort of mentor, and then we see Roth, who is like a dad figure, but really like a dad's right hand man, dad's best friend, best man sort of thing.
Yeah.
She goes through all of these changes, and at the end, she emerges as the Tomb Raider.
Exactly.
At least we think she does. And this game did incredibly well. I mean,
I loved it. I will say that.
Best selling Tomb Raider game, over 8.5 million copies. Sold a million copies within 2 days of its release. Within 48 hours, sold a million copies. That's a ton of copies. It sold 8.5 as of April of last year, of 2015. Mm-hmm. It is the best Tomb Raider game out there. It's the best-selling Tomb Raider game out there. And it came out in 2013. Pick this up. If you have a PS4, the Definitive Edition, or the Xbox 4. I'm sorry, the Xbox 4. The Xbox One
Xbox 4.
Has a Definitive Edition, and it's just better graphics, better everything. Yeah. It is such a good game.
Don't cry on me, man.
I'm getting emotional
I'm
about
the one that cries.
It's so good. And I think it was topped by the sequel to it, which is Rise of the Tomb Raider. It was released last year and in November.
Almost a year ago. Yeah.
It's so good. It is. It recently sort of got a re-release with its Rise of the Tomb Raider 20th year celebration for PlayStation 4. But I believe on Xbox One you can download the DLC, the same DLC that you can get on PC. So if you already have the PC version, for $30 you can get the Rise of the Tomb Raider 20th year celebration DLC, which isn't a bad price in my opinion. You get a lot of expedition stuff, you get a lot of DLC for that $30. It's sort of a season pass thing. Again, I don't like season pass stuff, but whatever.
I have strong opinions.
Tons of positive review, excellent graphics, and I It was the best-selling Xbox One game. This is the big fact. During the Christmas week, it sold 1 million copies by the end of 2015. So November nice. To the end of December, over 1 million copies. Not quite the same that it had as Tomb Raider, which was 1 million in the first 2 days.
Right, which is insane. I think people are just ready for a new Tomb Raider.
That is really, really insane. But this follows us. Lara Croft is 1 year after the events of Yamatai and Himiko and everything. They're trying to explain the weird events that happened on Yamatai, and she's sort of deemed crazy. Like, whenever you go and you say, hey, my friend turned into a goddess, she had superpowers. Also, there was some cult over there. Try to look at it. People don't believe her. They think that she's just super traumatized. She needs to go to a therapy session or something. Anyway, she turns to her dad, who is gone, dead. We find out later that there's like a lot around surrounding his death. But we find out that he had some research that she wanted some validation. She wanted to sort of prove that he wasn't crazy, because that would prove she's not crazy.
Yay, no one's crazy.
And it's sort of like, it's like the way that this opens is, well, another Croft is just insane. Oh, another cross is all crazy. Right, must run in the family. So she picks up this thing and she says, okay, there is there's this sort of artifact, right, that it's going to grant people immortality. It's gonna be a really, really cool thing. We need to go to Syria.
Already.
That's the lost city of Kitse or whatever. I can't remember. Kesha.
Okay, Kitesh. So we're going to Lost City, Kesha.
Kitesh.
I'm sticking with Kesha.
So they go to Kitesh, and they end up being pursued by this like government organization or this crazy religious cult military thing called Trinity. We find out that there's a lot of drama surrounding Trinity, her father, all of this stuff. We get to a Soviet-era mining installation in trying to search for Kitesh as well. So, it was Germans in the first one. Now it's the Soviets, the doggone Russians.
Dadgummit.
We find that there's some indigenous people over in this area, in this kingdom, in the Himalayas, not in the Himalayas, but in the mountains or whatever, that there's this awesome city inhabited by these crazy, like...
I like how it's always crazy natives.
These aren't people aren't crazy. They're like woods people, but they actually know technology. They're very well-spoken. They're very knowledgeable. And it turns out that the... divine source, which is this artifact or whatever, totally exists, and you end up finding it and seeing all
spoilers,
the cool stuff that it does. It's really, really neat. Again, this game brought back the grappling hook. I forgot about the grappling hook, but
you seem really up on this grappling
hook. Grappling hook's all right, man. I brought back the grappling hook that I was so very fond of that I'd forgotten about until I was replaying Legend and and what do you call it? Replaying Underworld. But yeah, this game. I recently beat it, and I recently beat all of the DLC for it. It's got multiplayer components, just like the first Tomb Raider.
Right.
It's a very pretty benchmark. And the best thing about this, and then we're going to cut to a song because I feel like we're going to run over. The best thing about the new generation of Tomb Raiders is that they do something called pure hair.
I was going to ask if it was the hair.
The hair is so good. We saw Hairworks, NVIDIA Hairworks, in The Witcher 3. It's so good to look at properly rendered, it's not individual strands, but clumps of strands of hair. Right. It's so good.
Just the fact that we've made so much progress to be able to make those computations.
We have the hair technology.
We do.
Tessellation makes flat things rocky. Hair or pure hair or whatever makes one hair texture into like 30 hair textures, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy about that.
That actually is a huge benchmark for technology. I don't know. I can't express this.
It is. And it's, I'm running on a 970 with
it may sound silly, but it's really a major
thing. I don't think I'm on ultra. I think I'm on high or very
high. You're on a 970?
I'm running a 970, and it doesn't really hurt it. So, I mean, and I'm running it at 21:9, 3440x1440. So it's a super, super wide 2K resolution. So that sort of wraps that up. We're going to talk about it a little bit more after this song. It's Awesome Knots theme. You're listening to this on Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, but not for much longer.
We're out of time.
This is experience points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Awesome Knots theme from the game, the Awesome Knots.
Yeah, good job.
The game Awesome
Knots.
Very
proud of you.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We're all out of time. But this has been the second part of our Tomb Raider anniversary show. Thanks, Tomb Raider, for being awesome.
That's,
you know,
the entirety of
20 years. 20 years. I was 8 years old, and I don't remember playing Tomb Raider 1. I remember playing Tomb Raider 2, but I got to say, and I'll probably do.
I remember playing whichever ones you installed in the lab.
I'll probably do a geek aside and, you know, talk about it. But it's such a good game series. It's one of the most genre defining. It's really one of those series that built games to where they're at now.
Yeah.
And you can see that in, we wouldn't have games like Uncharted.
It obviously had a major cultural influence.
Absolutely, yeah. There's so many things that...
All the things.
So many things that we wouldn't have without Tomb Raider. So,
a reason to test hair technology.
Core Design, iDOS, Crystal Dynamics, Square Enix, Toby Gard, everybody from the new thing, thank you so much. Y'all did such a good job.
It's
well
been
done.
Long
been
time.
A very 20 years.
20
two decades.
Years.
Let's
wow.
see if we can make it to three. Don't screw up the new generation by over-sexifying, sexualizing, you know, her. We are going to cut to one song. Before we do that, all of this audio has been cut, or will be cut, and put online. What is the website, Bear?
You can go to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We're also on social media at exppoints.com/social. It's our landing page for Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and the Steam community. You can check us out on Patreon and PayPal if you want to donate. And remember, iTunes and Stitcher if you want a podcast, all of this goodness. We're gonna be back next Wednesday from 9 to 10. We don't know what we're going to talk about, though. I think we want to talk about the legacy that is Nintendo consoles. That sounds like a pretty good thing.
We're going to start at the bottom,
and then we're going to go to the Switch.
And now
so
we're here.
We're going to do that. This is Helix Nebula by Anamana Gucci. We'll catch you next week. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This has been Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.